Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day and for our wee variation of the weather this morning, for each of the heads that spark your presence. Lord, for the families that are represented here, and I pray, Lord, for the blessing upon us as we spend this time around your word. If you would find our hearts and minds open and reasonable, Lord. I pray not just for ourselves, but for our sister churches across the world. Everywhere that the King James, the full counsel of your word is open, preached. Lord, I pray that you would bless the preachers and hearers of. Know, Lord, there's a lot going on in the world right now. I pray you, Father, please, for wickedness to be opposed wherever it rears its head, and Lord, for godliness to be blessed and promoted. You know, things are difficult with the corridors of power, Lord, right the way across the world, and I pray you, please, that you would constrain our world. You know all that's going on. It's pretty much happened just like it says in your word, Lord. And I pray that more Christians would get themselves sorted out, Lord, and get right with you. And that even a few lost souls, Lord, would see things happening too. We love you and thank you. Pray to be with us during the service. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. 283 will be our first hymn of the morning. 283, Have You Any Room for Jesus? 283.
Thank you.
Mortal, invisible, God only wise. These are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Ezekiel, king of Judah, copied out. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. The heaven for height, and the earth for depth, and the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the face of great men. For better it is that it be said unto thee, Come up hither, and that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest you know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbour hath put thee to shame. Debate thy cause with thy neighbour himself, and discover not a secret to another. Lest he that hears it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. A word falsely spoken is like apples of gold in
depicted of silver, as an earring of gold, or an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon the obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that sent him, for he refreshes the soul of his master. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomited. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbour's house, lest he be weary of thee, and so hate thee. A man that bears false witness against his neighbour is a maul, and a sword is a sharp arrow. Confidence is an unfaithful man in time of trouble, is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. As he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and is vinegar upon nightly, so is he that singeth songs of a heavy heart. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth the angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop, and with a brawling woman, and a white house. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is a strong fountain and a corrupt spring. Is not good to eat much honey? So for men to search their own glory is not glory. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Amen.
Proverbs is well worth a read. Thank you for that, Norman. Some very good ones in there. Well worth even going over that verse or two again. Just want to remind everybody this morning of the wee yellow prayer list. If you have one, please make sure that you take a moment during the week to even just call out all the names there once. And yeah, we'd be pretty much prayed for every day of the week. A few other things that are not on that, but I would like you to remember, Ling and Dr. Shang will be travelling back from Germany this evening, so please do bear them in prayer. Please also pray for the McNeil family, as they mourn the loss of a loved one. And that wee fellow Archie Battersby, you have to pray for his family as well. Otherwise, I think that's about that. We appreciated your prayers for our trip down to visit with my dad. He's got 90 years old. He's not doing too badly. He has to go and see the doctors, but hopefully for nothing life-threatening. So we appreciate that. 10 days from today, there will be the rededication service. They put notifications out on Facebook and email, and we'll be going around with posters to some of the local community centres, cop shops, and one thing and another, because everybody needs to hear the gospel. And we will just wait and see what happens on Thursday. I know there'll be tea and scones and buns. There'll be some brilliant singing and excellent preaching and good fellowship. So can't really say much better. So 10 days, Wednesday week. If you're able, we'd love to see you here. And all the other people that really do need to be here as well. So please do pray for those folks. Excuse me a moment. I just found a pen I thought I'd lost. There we go. Life's good. Life's good. Oh, and there's something else.
Goodness gracious,
man. I don't know what you're going to find in there. Right, that's our wee word of prayer. Well, if you would you pray for us, please?
Dear Father, this is David, and blessed be God, be unto you, and you alone, Lord. Thank you for sending us on the bed and cross for our sins, Lord. May we see more people come to the foot of the cross and be saved as well, Lord. May we go and may we establish more and more in our joy and power. Lord, we're for that down, Lord, as well, Lord. Haven't
I'm
why. We'd like to take and turn to the book of John. John chapter 8, we're going to be reading a familiar piece of scripture. The stoning of the adulteress, or the attempted stoning, should I say, of the adulteress. John chapter 8, beginning at verse number 1, we're only going to read about 10 or 11 verses of this portion of God's word. Seems a bit of a struggle to be out there, a few yawns, working their way from the back. It's like a wave coming from the back of the front. I'm tugging at my own bottom jaw. People were talking about yawning in the car, and I thought, my goodness, we're going to church. And we're talking about yawning. What's that going to do to me when I'm standing at the front? Amen. John chapter 8, beginning at verse number 1, the Word of God says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. All the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set it in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself, and he said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Amen. We're taking that as our text this morning. I want to spend just a moment or two speaking about that and thinking on the subject of alone with God. Alone with God. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads again. A holy prayer. Heavenly Father, do indeed thank you for this morning and pray for your good hand upon us as we take this time around your word. Please bless the teaching and the preaching and the reading of it, Lord, and the memorizing of it and the telling of it, Lord. You know exactly what we need, Lord. And we pray that our needs would be met this morning. Thank you for your continued patience and love for us. We know you're long-suffering, but Lord, we know that you're not forever suffering, and there is a time whenever your patience comes to an end. I pray you, please, that we would not find the end of your patience, Lord, that we would be busy about being your good children. I pray for all those that were involved in any bother that there might have been over the last couple of days, and I pray, Lord, that in a moment of quiet contemplation, they would consider where it is exactly their lives are going, and that they would consider you as Savior. Please prepare hearts and minds around about us, Lord, to consider joining us in the rededication service this coming Wednesday, about 10 days' time, the 24th. And most of all, Lord, we just pray for your work to be done. Thank you for getting Will's granny back home again. Thankful, Lord, that she was able to be up and about yesterday. Thankful, Lord, for our visit with my dad. And I just pray, Lord, for the medical issues that he has, Lord. In fact, all those that are just not doing the best, I pray for a healing touch, portion of grace or strength, Lord. You know what you mean. For those that aren't here, for Lynn, please see her safely home, her and Dr. Shine. For Stephen, for Colin, for Pat and Steve, Lord. You know all of our needs. Just love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for this time and for this freedom that we still have. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. This is, I am sure, you have heard at some time this portion of God's word about this adulterers caught in the very act, as the scribes and the Pharisees said. I want to do, well, almost like a little bit of a Bible study, and throw a few thoughts in there that you may or may not have had, and just see how, even though this was recorded nearly 2,000 years ago, it still applies as much today as if it had been written this morning with the newspapers. As we open up here, we see the Lord doing what he came to do, teaching and preaching about repentance and grace and the scriptures, growing as a believer, might even have been a wee taste of prophecy gone in there as well. But basically, the people came and they listened. They sat and they listened. The Word of God records that the common man received Jesus gladly. In other words, Joe Public, that had to work for a living, that wasn't wheeling and dealing and scheming, he listened to what the Bible says and he received it gladly, saying, you know, this is what I need. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Scripture. They heard him gladly. And it sort of makes you wonder what exactly it is that you, the sort of mental hoops you have to jump through to be a big cheese in this world. And in jumping through those hoops, what is it that almost proofs your mind against hearing the gospel or any correction whatsoever? But whatever it is, hope A, that I never have to find out. Pity those that are at that point in their lives. And you can pretty much see it everywhere, the scribes and the Pharisees. Normally, when it mentions the scribes and the Pharisees, you know there is some wheeling and dealing and shenanigans coming along. One of the best messages in the world, best church service in the world. Can you imagine those folks got to hear a little bit of what we will get to hear in heaven, God speaking to them and expounding the scriptures? It would be amazing. People would be getting right with God. We do know that everybody that came to Jesus, he didn't turn anybody away. He healed anybody that came to him. Who knows what might have happened there? Of course, the scribes and the Pharisees, all of a sudden, they come in. Can't be happy for people getting what it is that they really need, but they come into this woman. I don't know if she in shackles, doesn't mention anything like that, but she was brought in and they say, Master, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. So all of a sudden, when the scribes and the Pharisees say something like that, people started looking around for a rock. Because the law was that they would have, the parties involved in the adultery were to be stoned to death. So instead of hearing the word of God, all of a sudden people are getting wound up by the scribes and the Pharisees for a public execution. And they say, well, you know what? The law says that we should kill people that do things like that, so that it doesn't spread throughout the people. What do you think of that? Now, one of the things that is often mentioned is the question as to where the man was. The scribes and the Pharisees say, we caught her in the very act. In other words, she was in bed with a man. So where was the man? Now, I wouldn't put it past it being one of the scribes and the Pharisees who had his way with her, and then, having been done with her, said, let's take her to Jesus and let's see Jesus murder somebody, put him to death. And whilst every single word that they said here was true, I would, it's not in the Bible, but I would say it was one of the scribes and the Pharisees' fancy woman that they just brought out for an execution. And I would like for you to understand that whenever you rub shoulders with the world, you will only be allowed to rub shoulders with them for as long as you're useful, and whenever they're done with you, the world, the flesh, and the devil, they will spit you out like a piece of chewing gum with all the flavour sucked out of it. And they will not give two monkeys for you. It's worth remembering. Anyway, you would expect God Almighty in rage and vengeance
to bring lightning and thunder down from the heavens, and for the ground to open up and to swallow the burned and electrified ashes of this woman, and so that she was taken out of the way. But everybody forgets the one thing that Jesus came to do. Way back in John chapter 3, he said, I'm not come to condemn the world. The world's already condemned. The world's already going down the toilet. He said, I'm here to save whoever wants to be saved. And Jesus gets down on his hunkers and starts writing on the ground. Now, there's nowhere in the Bible it mentions what was written on the ground. But I want for you to remember one other instance where God's hands wrote stuff. Does anyone recall to mind what that might be? Does anyone remember the book of Daniel? Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar. He was a bad boy. He had seen his father greatly humbled by God. For 7 years his father lived for a beast as God stole his mind. And at the end of the 7 years his father looked up and glorified God. And God gave him everything back again. His son saw this. And whenever his dad died, his son took the vessels of the house of God and drank out of them and praised his gods. He was careless with his life and he was careless with his kingdom. And that night as they drank out of the vessels of God's house, a finger, a man's hand appeared and it wrote on the wall, Mene, 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 Tekel Upharsin, which means your kingdom has been weighed. It has been found wanting, in other words, it's fallen far short, and it has been given to the Persians, you Pharisee. I'm not a Greek scholar or a Hebrew scholar. I just read the translation of it. And I have a notion that maybe those words were written down, and then maybe a list of all of their own sins, maybe even some of their secret sins. And for some of them, that was maybe enough to prick their conscience. To see the words, your life has been measured by God. It has been found to come up short. And then the things that you have done underneath it. I know some people don't really think about their lives. Their lives are in fifth gear or sixth gear, the pedal to the metal. They're going hammers and tongs as fast as they can through everything in life to the very, very end, and they never ever consider the consequences of their actions. But don't forget that the Lord has full access to all of our thoughts, all of our memories. And we'll never know, but we can certainly ask God, Lord, what did you write down there? We can ask him that. It doesn't hurt to ask. And sometimes it takes a lot. And this is called the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And it works just as well in saved people. Actually, it should work better in saved people than in lost people. But whenever the Lord reminds us about immorality, whenever he reminds us about adultery and fornication and homosexuality and lying and cheating and stealing, whenever he reminds us about murder and even being angry with people in our hearts for no good reason, that means he is reminding us of the way we are, but also showing himself to be a savior from that. Some people have been convicted so many times that they don't actually get convicted anymore. Their consciences have grown like a hard callus over them, just like maybe your foot or your heel would, because you walk on it all the time. So the Word of God says that as he wrote, he also looked up and said, anyone that's without sin, you be the first guy to lift the brick and throw it at this one. Because the Word of God plainly states that all judgment has been given to the Son.
to sinless judge who can in all equity and holiness judge each and every one of us. And as you get older, you tend not to have your head swayed as much by foolish things. It's just a fact of life. Whenever you have experienced those things in the past, sometimes you lose your taste for things, or you see after a few years the hurt that it does, and you just don't be bothered about them. You don't be bothered by the corporate climb, the climbing up the corporate ladder. You don't be bothered by the acquisition of wealth or power. And it becomes, well, it should become plainer that people are the most important thing in the world. People, souls. And what exactly it is they're going to be doing. Because I can guarantee you, even the greatest of atheists, when they're faced with eternity, they are not the big cheeses, and they're not the loud noises that they used to be. They become timid, and they become whimpering, and they become fearful. And those are the times when people need to make good decisions. So maybe these older scribes and Pharisees, after having been challenged by God and maybe brought to their senses, brought back from the brink of a bloodlust, suddenly consider all the things that the Lord has written down and say, you know what? Just like the Lord said, if you even commit the least of sins, the tiny sin, you've broken the whole law. You're as much a sinner in God's eyes if you lie as you are if you kill. You're still a sinner. And sin is sin. So the elders leave first. Their life experience, maybe giving them a bit more of a broad view of the way things are, they leave because they realize they are sinners, and maybe they're just a little bit closer to meeting with God. And knowing what they have actually done here, and the setup and the wheeling and dealing that they have done to try and kill this woman, imagine using somebody like that to try and trip somebody up. Imagine killing someone just for a convenience. And these were supposed to be the religious men, the example setters. They leave first. And it keeps working like that. The eldest leave first. And then it comes to the youngest, probably baying like wolves for blood. Oh, we're going to get our first stoning. I'm going to impress the elders. I'm going to get her in the head with a stone. I'm going to knock her out. We're going to pummel her into nothing. And that'll teach everybody else. Baying like wolves for blood. Trying to impress the guys that can help them up the corporate ladder with their zeal and their desire for justice, just like Paul did. All of a sudden they find there's nobody there to impress. And they go as well. And eventually the only people that's there, that's recorded in the Word of God, is this woman. This adulteress caught in the very act. Condemned by the law. Guilty in the eyes of everybody, even herself. And she stands alone with God. This is where we eventually all stand. All the others, the world, the flesh, the devil, the false religion, it's all gone. It's just the woman and God. And the woman never utters a word to defend herself. She knows that she's done wrong. Even at this moment in time, this is an acting out of the work of the Holy Spirit on a lost soul, and the conversation. When you stand in front of God, you know you're guilty. There's only one thing you can do, and that is repent. And it also goes to show you that if you trust in false religion, it will kill you. It will be the death of you if you give it a chance. The only person you can depend upon is God. There was nobody else there. Even the people that the Lord was preaching to were constrained by the law of Moses to stone this adulteress to death. There's only one person that can see it, and that's Jesus. And he asks her, where are all of the people that have condemned thee? Where are they all? And she said, they're all gone. He said, well, I'm not condemning you. I came to save you. You have this second chance in your life. You can do with it, goodness, whatever you want. Just don't do what you were doing. Take a different road. Go a different way. In fact, he said, go and sin no more. All judgment is given to me, and the soul that turns up in front of me and begs for forgiveness while they are alive will be forgiven. And that's it. And it doesn't matter what your friends say. It doesn't matter what your boss says. It certainly doesn't matter what the police or the government says. All of those things are not going to save your soul. They certainly will promise to, but they can't. They never have. And if you look at the people that come through the machine, look at our government. Goodness, you couldn't trust them to feed your cat. You look at our health service. Our health service has been lying to us for 2 years, 2.5 years. They don't love you. Look at our education. Our education service is trying to destroy our children by encouraging them into transgenderism and homosexuality and lesbianism. Lesbianism, what does that teach a little child? None of them will save you. There's only one that will save you, and that's Jesus. The only man with any right to judge is the man that came to save whosoever will. And he sends her on her way, go and sin no more. A lot of people's going to ask, you know, you ever ask somebody, why do you not get saved? Somebody will say, if I get saved, my family will not have anything to do with me. I have heard people say that to me in the Bogside and up in Craigan. I remember speaking to a young lady that was a school teacher, and we had been back visiting her house when we were in the area for about a month, and so she said, come back next week, and I said, we'll come back next week and we'll chat some more. And at the end of our time there, she said, look, I don't want you to call back anymore. I was talking to my mummy, and my mummy said I shouldn't have anything to do with you. I said, that's fine, but it's not going to work. Roman Catholicism has never saved anybody. Protestantism has never saved anybody. Islam has never saved anybody. Neither has Buddhism. Neither has being a workaholic. Neither has taking drugs or alcohol. They will all keep you busy, and they might even enable you to forget your sins for a little while, but the best thing that you can do, the only thing that you can do to get saved, is to listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Absolve yourself of your sins by trusting in Christ alone as your Savior, and the Bible says you'll be saved. Repent and believe. That might not have been a great explanation, but Christ will absolve you of your sins when you are prepared to let them go, when you repent of them. He's the only man. I remember a fellow telling me at the door down in Nelson Drive, if I got saved, I would have to give up drinking. And I love drinking. I said, one day in eternity, you will regret saying those words. It might even be one day, but the first minute or two. If I had gotten saved, these things, these activities and these people, they wouldn't be with me anymore, they'd leave me. On the other hand, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit would never leave me. I would have a family in Christ. The Bible says, for everything that I would lose, I would have something that's 100 times better. And the most noble of purposes, the reason to get up and get going of a day. And for every soul that refuses, for every soul that puts it off and puts it off and puts it off until one day there's no more days left, and they put it off another day, and they step off into eternity. In Revelation 20, it talks about a great white throne of judgment, with all the souls of all the dead, small and great, standing before God. And each and every one of them is on their own. They might be a huge crowd, just like the huge crowds you will come across in many of the big cities, packed
what do they call it, cheek by jowl, shoulder to shoulder. And you would think, surely there is a great crowd there that they must be able to do great things together. But you tend to find in the bigger cities, there's more and more people are on their own. The Bible talks about a great congregation at the great white throne of judgment. Billions of souls have rejected Jesus Christ. And they're all standing shoulder to shoulder, rank and file, all in front of the great white throne of judgment. And I want to tell you something, each and every one of them is on their own. Because there will come a time, a very short space, period, during that Revelation 20, that all of their sins are made known. All of their filth and mire that dwells in all of our hearts, that is wiped away and cleansed whenever you trust Christ as your Saviour, but gets to be yours forever if you don't. And those things are so vile and so disgusting, all of the other people will not want anything to do with them. And their name is checked to see if it's in the Lamb's Book of Life, and of course it's not. And they're cast into the lake of fire by themselves forever. The Bible says to a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched forever. And the saddest thing about it is it doesn't have to be that way. At that great white throne, there's not going to be a crowd of Black Lives Matter stand up and say, Lord, all black people should get to heaven. There's not going to be a crowd of the Ku Klux Klan and say, Lord, all white people should be going to heaven. There's none of that. There's no ACLU, there's no Christian Institute that's going to fight on your behalf and get you into heaven. You're on your own. And if you have not made Christ your Saviour at the point that you step off into eternity, you are on your own. You will not have a Saviour with you. You will not have a God to talk to. You will not have a Holy Spirit indwelling you. You will not have angels to minister to. You will not have a new and a glorified and sin-free body to spend the endless ages of eternity with. You will not have robes of righteousness or a mansion in heaven. None of those things. Be on your own in the lake of fire for the endless ages of eternity. And God doesn't want that. Which is why he preserved his word for us. Which is why he filled it full of prophecy. Which is why he sent his son Christ Jesus to die on the cross for us. So that instead of meeting God with us that cursed him, made fun of his son, mocked and persecuted his followers and twisted the scriptures. Many times have you heard lost people rejoicing with a can of beer in their hand saying, Jesus turned the water into wine, we can drink. Many times people twisted the scriptures to their own destruction. Instead of making God with you as God's enemy and being sorely outnumbered, instead of making him as your judge, you can make him as your Saviour and friend. It's all down to you. If it was up to God, every one of us would be in heaven. But he's not going to force us. I think we already spent a service speaking on why people would hate to be in heaven, lost people would hate to be in heaven. If you can't be in church, you're not going to like heaven. But you can meet him as an enemy. As a judge, jury, and executioner, if you want to call it that. Or you can meet him as your Saviour and your friend. I certainly would rather hear those words, well done thy good and faithful servant, as the Lord waits for me and welcomes me to heaven, than depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Sometimes it's not easy in this world standing up for Jesus. When you're the first one in your family that's saved, whenever you have to fly in the face of all of your family history, whenever all of your friends who you know exactly what they're like and you know full well the amount of stick they give to other Christians you come across, but you have suddenly realized, hey, that Christian was right. It's not easy. Sometimes you will be on your own in this world. But I want for you to know
You have God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit fighting your corner. You have all the provisions and the help of the hope of heaven right at your fingertips. You will never be alone with God. Never. Never be on your own. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your time and attention and your patience. We'll sing a song and then we will be dismissed. So let's take our hymn books, the wee ones this time. Turn to hymn number 13, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Let's stand as we sing. Safely home here in Ireland. We love you and thank you. Amen.